Okay, so we're doing Vayikra chapter 8. Let me turn back to the beginning of the chapter. This chapter and this part of the whole book is the longest, or maybe the only, besides for one little narrative in Parshas Emor, the most important narrative, at least, in Parshas Sefer Vayikra. As we've discussed, Sefer Vayikra is a book of laws, of Torah, more specifically. Maybe we should translate teaching or instruction, probably is the best translation. But it's a book of Torah's instructions, most specifically instructions framed around the Mishkan, framed around the Avodah of Karbonos, and framed around the concepts of Tahara, purity, and Kedusha. As we'll see when we get to those parts. But what we have here is a narrative in the framework, in the structure of the narratives that we've seen all along the parshas of the Mishkan, of how you have one part of the tzivoy, of the command, the instruction to do something, and then a part of the asiya, of the actual doing something. The implementation, the carrying out of the command, gets a specific its own parsha. It's the second half of that parsha. We have that at length in the whole parsha of the Mishkan, the parsha of creating the Mishkan, the parsha of building the Mishkan, the parsha of setting up the Mishkan. That was the whole second half of Sefer Shemos. And now we have something similar for this very specific part of the construction of the Mishkan, or the sanctification of the Mishkan, we should say, the Chanukas HaMishkan. And this seems to be, there's a question here. Let's ask the question. It's a question about the order of the parshas, but it's also a question which should reveal to us what this parsha is for, or what it's about. Because if you follow the timing, if you follow the chronology of these parshas, we had the long story of the creation of the Mishkan and the end of Sefer Shemos, and Shemos finished with the actual setting up, the actual building of the Mishkan. And it even finished in the very last psukim in Sefer Shemos. We had Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem, the cloud, coming into the Mishkan and Moshe not being able to enter it. So it seems like the whole story, this was the goal, this is like the ultimate goal of the entire building of the Mishkan, V'shechanti B'soicham, seems to have been accomplished by the end of Sefer Shemos. And then, as many Mefarshim have noticed, the beginning of Vayikra seems very clearly to be a continuation directly of that, in a very similar way as we had in Parshas Mishpatim. There was a cloud on the mountain on Har Sinai, and then, so you can't enter, nobody can go to the cloud, but then Moshe is called, he gets a call, Vayikra al Moshe, Vayom HaShvi, and Moshe goes up to the cloud in the Har Sinai, and very similarly we have a cloud in the Mishkan, at the end of Sefer Shemos, and then Vayikra al Moshe, Moshe is called into the cloud, into the Ohel Moed, and he gets told these laws of the Karbonos. Though it would seem like now everything is finished. Now where the Mishkan is set up already, all that's left is to tell us some laws of how to act. But, and that seems to be the case with Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, which as I understand it, is really a continuation of that. There's other people that think that when it says in Parshas Tzav, Har Sinai, it means explicitly not in the Mishkan, but before that, in other words, in the story that I just mentioned, when Moshe went to the cloud in Har Sinai and received commands and received Torah. I'm not so sure about that, but that's what many modern commentators seem to assume. In any case, when we get to the end of Parshas Tzav, so this second half of Parshas Tzav, which is this chapter where we're starting today, you see suddenly that it seems like the Mishkan was not yet set up, or at least the Avodah in the Mishkan, the Kehanim, who do the Avodah in the Mishkan, did not yet get sanctified, did not yet get their chinuch, their I don't know how to call it, their entry into the avodah, they're receiving the holiness, receiving the ability to do the avodah. It seems to have happened only now. So there's a problem for the order. Rashi just says, "En nuktem mechabatayra." The order, it's not an order. This parsha should be seen as having happened before Vayikra, because he understands that Vayikra must be after the whole thing was set up. Or in any case, maybe even before the end of Sefer Shemos, which talks about the Kvod Hashem coming to Mishkan, which according to the story which we'll read here, happened only on the 8th day of the Miluim, which is the beginning of Parsha Shemini. It didn't yet happen at all in the end of Sefer Shemos. So that's Rashi's understanding. The Rabban disagrees with him. This is a consistent, the systematic machlokes that Rashi and the Ramban have. Also, Ibn Ezra is on the side of Rashi more, although there might be some difference. The Ramban wants the order of the historians in the Torah to make sense. He's very much sees the greater narrative always, and he thinks that this is an order. And Ramban thinks that the whole Parsha Yikra, and seemingly also the Parsha of Tzav, was all said in that first day. So it's not like Rashi understands this has to have happened afterwards. No, it was all said in the first moment, and then he actually did the Miluim. So it's not, it's one long story, and he seems to read this whole, all these Parshas as having happened at once. But for us, for our purposes, it's more important to try to understand why this would happen. So even according to the Ramban admits that the last Pasuk in Sefer Shemos is out of place because there was no cloud yet before all of this happened. But he says, okay, that's okay because the style of the Torah is to finish stories. We've mentioned this a couple of times already. The Torah, when there's like one subject in a narrative, this is a problem whenever you write a narrative that has different parts, different aspects going on. But in order for one part to be complete, sometimes you need to finish that arc, finish that part before you go back really to the next part. And that's how the Ramban sees the Psukim in the end of Shemos, which talk about the cloud already coming to Mishkan. It's just the finishing of that story, although it's not clear why it's necessary to be in the end of Shemos. Of course, it makes the end of Sefer Shemos, it makes Shemos some kind of complete book. So there's a story that begins and ends. It's not really clear that it's necessary, but that's the Ramban's understanding. I think that we need to understand why any of this would be. And I'll give a more broader explanation of the structure here. So the way I understand is neither that there's a complete chronological narrative structure to these stories, like the Ramban thinks, or that it's just totally random, like Rashi seems to think. And Mekhtam Mechel Bateir. Seems to me that there are subjects of books or of parts of the Torah, and these subjects get put together in a way that we can understand them. And then there are like these narrative points or points of the story which get thrown in every time when they help us understand. So in other words, there's always a story and a law, a teaching, an instruction that goes together one with the other. And sometimes we organize the instructions by the order of the story, and sometimes the opposite, depending on how it would make more sense. So for example, the entire Sefer Shemos, which is both a narrative and a law and an instruction of how to create the Mishkan, although there's a question if this is a mitzvah deoris, in which sense do we mekayim that all the instructions of the Mishkan? Okay, that's a question. But in any case, there's laws and they're created in the narrative. And Shemos is all about the construction of the Mishkan, the creating of the Mishkan. But then there are two more books, Vayikra and Bamidbar. And Vayikra and Bamidbar are, Bamidbar explicitly very much mixed up between laws and narratives. But even Vayikra, as we see here, there's a little bit of narrative in it. And these second two books both take their framing, their main narrative framing, from the Mishkan. So unlike the beginning of Sefer Shemos, really, the first half of Sefer Shemos, and also Sefer Devarim, which mostly takes its framing from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So in other words, every time we learn Torah, every time we learn our general way of learning Torah, is really, which really comes from Sefer Devarim and Sefer Yeshua, is that we have the law was given, the day, right? There's the narrative, there's the story. What's the thing, the story that gives power, that gives meaning to these laws? It's the story of Har Sinai, the story of Mamed Har Sinai. That's when we get this laws. As we say, whenever we learn Torah, it's Ke'ili, we're by Mamed Har Sinai. So it makes sense to mention it every time we make a bracha, maybe to mention it, or in some sense, Parshas Mishpatim, for example, is all framed in that way. The writer was Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai we were given all these laws. Okay, and then in a little bit, the story of the Mishkan is also framed because that was the law given by Har Sinai, part of it. Okay. Then, but Sefer Vayikra and Bamidbar are framed differently. their story, although Har Sinai is mentioned, as we see here, it's also going to be mentioned in the end of Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Behar, famously. So there is a connection between Har Sinai and Ohel Moed. But their main framing is a different framing. Even the framing of Parshas Bechakoyse is a different framing. Their main framing is that there was a Mishkan. Of course, this Mishkan was set up by the command of Har Sinai, so that's the connecting thread that connects these two stories of Torah. But the main framing that they have is that there was an Ohel Moed set up precisely for this, set up, as it says in Parshas Balos, as it says here in the beginning of Vayikra, Vaydaber Hashem Elav Ohel Moed Laemer, set up to that Hashem to speak to Moshe. And from that space, Hashem gives them all the laws. And this doesn't only mean that this is like where the laws came from, this is, happens to be their office where they met. It also means that the laws themselves get framed as being the laws surrounding the Mishkan. And this is very obvious if we talk about the laws of Karbonis, right? Karbonis are precisely the laws that are to be enacted in this Mishkan. But it's also true more broadly for the halachas of Tuva v'Tahara, which are Parshas Tazria, Shemini, Metzora, which are very explicitly framed as the purity necessary to touch the Mishkan. As we all will see there, there's explicit pasuk that connects the laws of purity to the narrative of Parshas Shemini. And in a broader sense, even Parshas Kedoshim, which is framed around the sanctity, the kedusha of the Jewish people, is again framed as v'nikdashti b'zoch b'nei Yisrael, as it says in Parshas Emor. This is what allows the holiness of God, like we call it kodesh kedushim, to be within us. And the same way, in a broader sense, in Sefer Bamidbar, which is again, there's another part of the narrative there, another part of the act of the story of the construction of the Mishkan as in Sefer Bamidbar, and there we have a lot of other laws, we could talk about each one, but at least the first half of the laws that are there seem to be framed around the more broader, like there's the Mishkan, and then there's the Machna, there's the camp around it, and there's laws for that camp. And those laws are also framed as coming from the Mishkan, as being around the Mishkan. So this is the new framing of Sefer Vayikra by Midbar, where their Torah is the Torah of Ohel Moed, not the Torah of Har Sinai so much. Now, if we'll think of the story of the construction of the Mishkan itself, we can see that it's divided into several parts. And each part belongs to a different book, to a different order. So the part of just the building, right? We have to build the Mishkan, there's a shir and a midah for each thing. That's the part of Sefer Shemos. And Sefer Shemos finishes with that being finished. And the kind of Asheros HaShechina, the kind of Kaved Hashem, the Anan that was coming, came because of that, because the Mishkan was complete. Now there's another part which Sefer Yikra is about. Sefer Yikra is not about the building or even the maintenance of the Mishkan, right? All of that was taken care of in Sefer Shemos. What it's about is the Karbonos, the Avoida, the daily Avoida, daily, weekly, monthly, or Avoida that happens when someone needs it. In the Mishkan, the Avodah Sakrabunas. Now this Avodah, more than, for example, Sefer Shemos, which belongs to Bezalel and Eliyahu, which built the Mishkan, this Avodah belongs to the Kehanim, it belongs to Haran and his children, who are the people who officiate day to day in the Mishkan. Now, which means that within the setting up the Mishkan itself, there's the aspect of setting up the building, so to speak, and that's maybe even enough to get to the level that we can have the next level. But then there's the setting up of the Avodah, or the setting up of the Kehanim. And that's a different setup. So if we can think about the Chanukas HaMishkan, which is like the act of establishing the Mishkan, as having at least these two parts. There's also the third part, which is mentioned in the Sefer Midbar, which talks about the Levium. We'll get to that, we'll discuss it. But you can see also there, there's a third level, a third part of the story of the aspect of the Mishkan. We're looking learn about Chanukas HaNesiim. So in other words, also all about how the Mishkan spreads out to the camp all around. And in any case, here we're up to this second part. And therefore, the whole narrative of what we call Yimei HaMiluim, which is not the narrative of getting the Mishkan to work. We've done that already at the end of Parshas Pekudah. It's the narrative of getting the Kehanim to work. And the laws that we're learning here are all the laws that come from that, right? The laws of Karbonos is how the Kehanim should act regarding the Karbonos, how the Kehanim should act regarding their purity, and how the people should act regarding the purity that's demanded from this. So all of that is based really on the story of the Miluim. So this story can be seen as the origin story of all the halachas of Sefer Bamidbar, and it's very explicit in the story of Nadav Aviyah, which teaches us something very important, as we'll get to tomorrow or the next day when we learn that story. But that's I think, the general framing of the story and what it's doing there here. Now we'll just run through the details of the story quickly. The first narrative part, important narrative part, is number one, there's a command. We've seen in all these stories, I said that in general, there's like two parts, right? There's the command part and then the action part, the carrying out of the command. But as we'll see so many times, there's really three or four parts. So there's another part. Because very often we have the command, the mitzvah, like the idea, the Torah. And then there's a specific command from Hashem to Moshe, now do it. This now do it is a second level command. It's not like this is how it should be done. We had this very, this was in Parshas Tetzaveh, we had this. This is how it should be done. When you will create the Mishkan, you will initiate. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. The initiation. This is how you will initiate the Kehanim into their roles. And then there's a new command. Now do it. Now do it as a new command. And it's interesting to notice if the Kajet Tziv Hashem is for this or for the first command. Well, there are two levels. You could think about what they mean. They have a meaning. So anyway, there's a command that says, take Ahar and his children, take the clothes that were prepared, take the oil, take the karbonas that we discussed, the animals and the bread, the matzahs that were prepared for the karbonas, and take all the people, get together the Eidah. Eidah might not mean all the people, it might mean the important people, the leaders, the Zekayim, the Nesiim, get them together to the Pesach El Moed, to the door of the El Moed. This is important. It's important that this be public. So since Aharon and his children are being initiated into the Avodah, which they do, at least in some sense, in the name of all the people sort of have to be there. They're becoming, and we'll see in the story, part of it is that they function, the bodies of Aharon and his children function slightly like a carbon itself or like the Mishkan itself. So just like people have to bring their carbon, they have to bring the Mishkan, the people are bringing Aharon also. And Moshe has to show them, as we'll see later, that Hashem is coming down, the Kvod Hashem is coming down in front of them before their eyes. And that's what they do, they come together. And Moshe tells them, and this is another, like, we could add a fourth thing, and Moshe tells the people, this is what Hashem commanded. And this is important, they should know. I didn't make this up, but also it gives it power, it gives it authority. I think this is like a bracha, right? Like we say, Asher katshonu b'mitzvosav, la'asis kach v'kach, when we do a mitzvah, Moshe is saying a bracha, zeh adover shesiv Hashem, this is Moshe giving a bracha, and this establishes what he's really going to do. And now we have the long narrative. The first step is, he washes Aharon and his children. Second step is he dresses them, and we have a length, every part that he dresses. I'm not going to go through every one of it, but it's the story is written, so you should savor every one of it. I just don't have time right now to go through the whole thing. We have the next, then there's the oil. He anoints both the Mishkan and Aharon with oil. The Mishkan, the Mizbeach, this is part of the art of initiation of the Mishkan. So until now it was sort of choil. It's like just a thing as preparation for the Avodah, but it's not ready yet. And this is how Ot makes it ready. He dresses Aharon's children, so the other Kehanim. And then we have the part of the Kavanas. And as we've seen in Parshat Tetzaveh, there are really three important Kavanas here. There's a par chatas, a chatas an esrefes, a par chatas that we, this is the kind of chatas that we do for Yom Kippur or for chet of the kohen or the nasi. So it's a kind of kapara. And of course, you can ask like what they need a kapara here, but it's, I don't think necessarily we have to understand it. It could be understood about chata egel, but it could be understood as not necessarily as atonement for a sin, but something like Yom Kippur, the avoid of Yom Kippur and the avoid of miluim and the avoid of achatas, chatas akol and so on are very similar. In that, there's this idea that for God to come and rest in this place, it needs to be purified, and this is what accomplishes the purification. So there's the par chatas, a chatas achetzoines, gets burned outside. So that's where we see the chatas is very similar to oil. It can't be eaten because the kohen themselves here need a kapur. They're not yet purified in order to eat it. So it's not eaten, it's burned outside. But it's not for the mizbeach either, so it's burned. Then there's the oila. Okay, oila is almost always comes along with these kind of things. And that's just like, I think it's just to prepare the situation. And then there's the second aisle, the more important aisle called Aila Miluim. That's the aisle, their second carbon, which will be used to sanctify Aharon and his children themselves. And what happens is he takes the blood and he puts it on these three parts of Aharon, his on three right part, three right limbs of a hand, three extremities, we could say, of the body. In some sense, the corresponding to the three levels of the body. Everyone knows there's the head, the hands, and the feet. So on his right ear, on his right hand, and in his left, on his right foot, on the pinky, on this extremity of the finger. And that's, it's similar to putting blood on the mizbech, like on the karnes of mizbech, on the extremity of the mizbech. And this is what gives Aharon the power. This is part of the hiskadshus, the initiation of Aharon and his children. Then there is the part of this al-milum is a shlemim. So there's the parts that get given to mizbech, along with parts of the bread, as we do by a carbon toida, similar idea. We take one bread of each kind, and we did something called tenufa. We raise it up in front of the mizbech, and this is like a symbolic gesture of giving it, and then it gets burnt. And Moshe got one part. So, and just like generally, it's interesting that Moshe has a part here. This, we talk about that also at length. Just like in every general shlumim, there's all of this parts, right? There's the part that the mizbech gets, and then the balim, the owner, gets most of it. But then there's the chazah that goes to the kohen, chazah v'shoik. In the same way, Moshe here functioned as the kohen for Aharon. So we understand that here, the kohanim themselves can't really do everything yet. This is their initiation. So there's like a question of how it starts. And Moshe here gets the chazah of the ha'il miluim, as if he is the one doing the hoid, he is the one initiating Aharon. How was Moshe initiated? So Moshe is Moshe. Okay. Then we have more, the Shem and HaMishcha, also Aharon and his clothing need to get some blood and Shem and HaMishcha, so this sanctifies the clothing, the Bigdekon also. So that's basically the whole process of initiation. Now we finish the final part, as we've learned, a shlumim, which the Ayin Milum is, a kind of shlumim is also a party, something that you have to eat. And here, unlike a regular shlumim, which is eaten b'chaleir, it's not really l'fkodesh, This shlumim has to be eaten Pesach Chol Moed, and that not only that, they have to stay there for 7 days, not leave. And this is part of their initiation, like their whole they're going to be the kind of people who belong to the Chol Moed, who work there. So in order to like get out of it, they have to, for this first 7 days, they sort of like move out of their house and live there, and they eat there the Ayin Milum, the shlumim, and they're. Pasuk concludes with Vayas Aharon Evonav Askelash Dvarimash Siv Hashem. They did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. This is similar. The 7 days of Milum are similar, as Chazal understood that this is the source, like the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, which we've just said. Yom Kippur is similar structure to the Milum. Also, for 7 days, Shivas Yom Kodim Akpir Mafrish and Kohen Gadol Levaise Mivaise Lishkas Balhedrin, he would move into the Beis Hamikdash, so to speak, and that's, we could understand for the same idea.